The cruise passenger head tax gets back into the state budget, and a Haines photographer talks about capturing Chilkat landscapes. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Leaders in cruise ship communities breathed a sigh of relief this week. As it stands today, $15 million in cruise ship head taxes will be distributed to port of call communities. That money was threatened when a legislative conference committee removed the language that would allow for its distribution. But the budget approved by the legislature this week reverses that decision. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
If we didn't get the money, we would have a budgetary crisis.
Skagway Mayor Mark Schaefer says the roughly $4 million the town expects to receive this year from cruise passenger taxes is used to pay for capital improvements and strains on services that come from the huge number of visitors.
We have a town of 1,000 people, and today we probably have 13 or 14,000 visitors, so the impacts are very large.
Skagway is just one of more than a dozen coastal communities that receive $5 for each cruise visitor who docks in town. Cruise lines pay the tax to the state, which then distributes funds to communities. A legislative conference committee decision in May took out language that would allow the disbursement to take place. Eagle River Senator Anna McKinnon, who was on the committee, called the passenger tax system broken. KHNS was unable to reach McKinnon for comment. Representative Sam Keto's district includes three cruise ship ports, Juneau, Skagway, and Haines.
My understanding is there were representatives from the cruise industry that were in Juneau last year expressing concerns over how some of the money was being spent by communities.
Communities are required to spend the passenger tax funds on port facilities or other services that benefit cruise visitors. A recent review from the State Division of the Legislative Audit found that towns mostly follow the rules when spending passenger taxes, but it did raise concerns about the future of the system.
And there is a potential that the more vessels or the more ports a vessel visits, the less solvent that fund becomes.
But for now, Keto thinks the millions the state receives from cruise ship passenger taxes should continue to be distributed to the communities they visit.
Well, I'm hoping that this puts that topic to rest and that there are a few small statutory things that need to be done, but I think the program's working very well for the state. It's a program that I think we need to continue.
The budget is now in the hands of Governor Bill Walker. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Two Southeast Alaska legislators could have an easy ride on this year's campaign trail. As of this morning, no one had filed to run against Juneau Democrat Representative Sam Keto III and Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman. Keto's district includes Haines and Skagway. Stedman's includes Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. The filing deadline is 5 p.m. today. Ketchikan's Bob Sievertson, a Republican, is challenging incumbent Dan Ortez, a Ketchikan independent. No Democrat has filed, but Ortez caucuses with the House Democrats. The district includes Wrangell. Sitka's Sheila Finkenbinder, a Republican, is challenging Jonathan Christ Tompkins, a Sitka Democrat. The district includes Petersburg, Hoonah, and other small cities. Juneau's Justin Parrish, a Democrat, is challenging incumbent Kathy Munoz, a Capital City Republican. The district is based in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley and includes no other communities. Juneau Democrat Senator Dennis Egan is in the midst of a four-year term and not up for re-election this year. His district includes all of Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. The primary is August 16th, and the general election is November 8th. So far, Southeast has no primary races. At its regular meeting this week, the Skagway Borough Assembly will review the town's first application for a marijuana cultivation facility. Two residents who plan to operate as Coyote and Toad's Garden are applying for a permit with the State Marijuana Control Board. The business would be located in an industrial-zoned area, which is allowed in the newly adopted borough regulations. It is in the Assembly's power to protest the approval of the application. The Assembly will also revisit business postponed from its last meeting, including the FY17 operating budget. That item was put off because of uncertainty over the state budget. Resolutions that would let White Pass Railroad establish agreements with three companies to use municipal land were also postponed. They'll come back to the Assembly at this week's meeting. The Assembly will hear more about the cost of an updated study evaluating the visitor industry's impact on Skagway. The last economic study was published 8 years ago. The recommended code change for the Planning Commission is also on the agenda. It would relax some of the rules related to accessory housing. An executive session is also scheduled to discuss two topics, the municipality's potential purchase of property on Long Bay and a report from the borough attorney regarding talks with White Pass. The meeting is Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. The full agenda and more information can be found at skagway.org. Haynes photographer John Hagen is one of several artists featured as part of this week's First Friday events. His black and white landscape photos will hang at the Alaska Arts Confluence's Main Street Gallery as part of the monthly celebration. Hagen has given up the hustle of daily deadlines in the often stressful world of photojournalism and traded it in for a more relaxed style of shooting. He's also said sayonara to monster cameras, giant lenses, and a 40-pound gear bag in favor of a high-quality, albeit compact, digital camera.
Well, my back certainly thanks me. It is very much liberating.
But making the switch from editorial to landscape photography didn't happen overnight. The styles are very different, but Hagen says he's learned to incorporate the reflexive technique of newspaper photography into his sweeping scenics.
Well, as a photojournalist, I was taught to be able to make a photo on a moment's notice. I have a unique skill set that allows me to pretty much drop in anywhere and tell stories with images.
His latest series is called Hide and Seek. It's an intimate look at the landscapes along the Chilkat River. The photos are taken from the ground and the air with a variety of viewpoints within.
I want to have the idea of like a raven or a crow searching around the landscape for food. I got into some landscape aerial landscape photography last year, and I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed kind of being able to play the landscape photography with a really up close and personal view of the landscape that I like to do.
After the shots are taken, Hagen tackles the arduous and meticulous task of digital black and white printing.
One thing I take pride in is my ability to print black and white photography. And the cool thing about this one is I really wanted to make my prints the center of the exhibit. So rather than choosing to show framed prints, my prints are going to be bare prints hanging on the wall. That way people will be able to see the detail and not have to fight through the glass to see it.
A photographer for two decades, this is Hagen's second First Friday show in Haynes. He says the details and subtleties in his prints are best observed in person.
I want people to see my printed work. I have some of the stuff I have on my website and my on my Facebook page is that screen doesn't do it justice. My prints are a little bit larger. And you can see the pictures the way I wanted them to be seen.
According to the Confluence, quote, his detailed approach to landscape photography highlights nature's harmony, repetition, and lines, and explores an environment that also inspired the art of Hagen's Aleut and Inupiaq ancestors. Hagen dove seriously into landscape work a couple years ago with the help of a $7,500 individual artist grant from the Rasmussen Foundation. His show, Chilkat Beach in Monochrome, was featured at the Bunnell Street Arts Center in Homer last spring, and more recently he was awarded an artist in residency at the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which will happen next winter. His prints will be on display and for sale at this week's First Friday event happening from 5 to 7 p.m. Elsewhere in Haynes, Skipping Stone Studios will feature a display of Gene Smith's fiber art, handmade scarves, and wall hangings. The Haynes Sheldon Museum and the Hammer Museum will also have First Friday open houses, and Merrick Bocart's Smart Art will be on display at the Port Chilkoot Distillery. More information at khns.org. KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.
We'll be right back.